Welcome to LeagueCast. Hello and welcome to episode 550. I'm your host, Nick the King Cooper. Joining me is Colton Blue Basket Sweat.
Bam, 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 bam. 550.
That's a big number. That's a big even number.
Yeah, it's got fives and zeros. It's a good one.
We all just returned from a friend of the show, Alex Way. Alex's wedding. I almost doxed him. Previous host Alex, his wedding. So Aiden just made a 10-hour drive back, so he won't be joining us for obvious reasons. It'll just be me and Colton, another solo dolo show. Yeah. Duo bulo, as the kids say. So before we get into our weeks, we've got a little bit of LeagueCast news. Also, if we miss any patrons or Starries, we'll do them next week because I'm not 100% familiar with getting that information. So sorry for the mix-up. We'll talk about a little bit of LeagueCast news, a tiny little bit of new news. There's no patch yet, which is surprising. But then we'll jump into the competitive league section, roundtable, and mail fight. Colton, how was your week?
My week was pretty good. I'm trying to think back to,
I know,
like Wednesday. And
pull up your match history.
Yeah, let me pull up my match history and see what I was up to Wednesday, because I was probably getting some games in to make sure I was fully banked. Because like you said, we were at a wedding this weekend, mm-hmm. So I was not really playing any games from Thursday till today in the afternoon when I got home. Friday we had a pre-wedding LAN party, which was great fun. We were down in Kevin's basement. The groom-to-be was there. We played some Trackmania, some Warcraft 3 maps. We played
nice.
One game of League of Legends, which I lost. Yeah, it was so funny because Aiden was just like, all right, as long as we get Colton, or like as long as we can kill Colton, we'll be okay. I got Graves and there were two other AD carries on my team. Mm-hmm. He got Malphite.
Oh my god, that's so unlucky.
Yeah, so he went full AP Malphite and he just popped me every time. I think I dodged his ultimate like twice that game.
Nice.
But it was still a really good time hanging out, seeing everyone. But yeah, we were playing video games till the late hours of the morning. I think we didn't get to bed till about 5 or 4.
Yeah, I was going to say it was pretty late.
Yeah. And that was coming after a night where on Thursday, the night before, we were out in the city till about 4 as well. So it's been a very busy, very tiring weekend, but a whole lot of fun, good food, good drinks, good fellows. How about you? What was your week up to, or what were you up to pre-wedding, and how'd you enjoy your wedding weekend?
So not up to too much pre-wedding. As for League of Legends, I think I'm up like a game and a half. I think I'm up like 25 LP on where I was previously. Played a little bit on my Plat 3 Smurf, playing some Sejuani top, and it's probably the easiest like lane in the game. It's actually pretty wild. You just kind of exist until you can one hit people with your combo. You get to build full tank, which is really fun, and still do a metric ton of damage. But I think like, I don't know, if you're kind of fallen by the wayside and can't figure out where your place is in this meta, try some Sejuani top. It's remarkably easy for how effective it is. Otherwise, yeah, we went to the wedding. Had a lot of fun. We got some pizza, which was super sick.
Some what?
Pizza?
What?
Hey, I said it right the first time.
You did.
and yeah, I think that's pretty much it. So I suppose we'll get on with the show. I just closed the show notes on accident.
You're good. We'll move on into LeagueCast news. So if you don't remember me saying it the last few weeks, hey, I'll be at LCS Finals. That's next weekend. I know one individual did reach out to me, and so we're planning on meeting up, I think, Saturday. If you're going to be there, let me know. We can figure something out, say hey, grab a picture, you know, whatever you want to do. There's an event in our Discord, so make sure to join the Discord if you want to be a part of it, or if you want to be a part of our community and chat with people. So everyone listening should want that, and if you don't, you're wrong. But that's discord.gg/LeagueCast, and that event that Aiden is hosting, it's going to be coming up later in the month. We're going to be doing some sneaky League of Legends trivia. I believe single elimination, gauntlet, royale, winner takes all. I believe he's getting a prize.
There will be a prize. It's happening September 23rd at 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. So no excuses. It's a Friday.
Yeah.
Most everyone should be able to join NAEU, whatever. Maybe you have to stay up a little bit.
Yeah, but we're trying to get 100 people there at the start. Mm-hmm. To get some real elimination vibes, I guess.
Yeah, and anyone can join. But if you are a patron, you can submit questions to Aiden by DMing him or posting it on our Patreon, and that way you know at least one of the questions.
Mm-hmm. So, but he's also going to make sure to only ask that question after you've been eliminated, because Nick's going to know all the answers to every question.
Well, you and I won't be participating as well as Aiden. I believe we are doing commentary.
Probably, yeah.
So we'll be eliminated. We can't pay ourselves with the prize pool.
You just watch me. I'm a congressman now.
We're going to approve our own raise. All in favor. Agree.
Agree.
The eyes have hit.
There we go.
Everyone was now up their patron by one level.
But that's about it for LeagueCast news. So we'll head on over into new news, which is relatively light. I think there's one thing I did see, which I'll bring up after we go through the first two.
Okay, sure. Yeah, so Arcane won an Emmy this week for Outstanding Animated Program.
I believe
they won more than just that, but that is the really big one that is worth noting.
Yeah, like so, I think it's like the like kind of best picture of the category, where it's just like best animated thing.
Yeah.
But I think also one of the notable things about it, not only was it like a League of Legends thing, but it was, I think, the first animated series that was like developed and initially aired for a streaming platform.
Oh, cool.
To do that. Mm-hmm. Check my facts, listeners, if I'm wrong, but I do believe reading that somewhere that it was the first like straight to and developed for streaming platform series to do so.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
And it fucking earned it, because that Arcane is so good.
It's extremely good.
If you haven't seen Arcane yet, watch Arcane.
Uh-huh. Please watch Arcane.
And with that, we'll move into there's updated honor rewards. I didn't see this. Tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah, so gone are the days of gray Twitch. I'm sorry, gray Warwick and medieval Twitch chromas. And instead, we are going to be getting, let me click on it, the 3 honors skin line. Mm-hmm. So everyone will get a skin. The first one is Malzahar. I think the still image they posted does not look very good. I do think it's going to look pretty okay in game. It'll look good with movement and things like that.
Yeah.
But it definitely is not a flattering picture of the reward.
So you're saying I need to not spend my remaining honor 5 token, or do spend it?
You should. I don't believe
it's going to be worth anything.
Yeah, I don't believe it. Well, no, I think I think it will maintain its worth. It's just I think that they are doing away with the skin line, And when you, sorry, I'm reading right now. Oh, okay. Honor 5 capsules will still contain the token you can redeem for Twitch Warwick or the previous chromas. However, you just get a skin.
Additionally.
Yeah, whenever you finish the year, okay. I think.
All right. Well, I'll have to choose between my last two Warwick chromas.
Mm-hmm. they also mentioned that end of game chat hasn't changed a bunch. Now that it's opt-in, it's really nice that, you know, you don't have to see the toxicity if you don't want to. And then they talked about how honor was calculated, which is something that I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
They gave everyone some hints where if you want to positively impact your honor score, you should honor everyone all the time. You get extra honor if everyone on your team honors. So skipping that will negatively impact your climb. You get extra honor from non-premade teammates. So it is still beneficial to have your like duo partner honor you. However, it means less than if a teammate honors you, a random teammate. Mm-hmm. And then they broke down the weight that honor like carries in certain modes. So ranked, solo, and flex obviously have the highest honor weight. If you're positive or negative in those games in terms of behavior, it will more severely impact your honor score. And that is, and then it's a step down to normals, ARAM, and event modes, aka the non-ranked matchmaking modes, followed by co-op versus AI. So they kind of cited that like the more higher stakes that there are for the game mode, the more heavily weighted that the honor is. And then they said, this is, I think, the coolest part, that honor progresses faster per game if you are consistently positive. A rare slip-up isn't too bad. However, if you flip-flop between being positive and being negative, it is going to take you an extremely long time to climb. So keep that in mind next time you're typing out a message. Not that any of our listeners would. Our listeners would never.
No, yeah, but I do really like that because I think it's very easy to be positive when you're winning and mm-hmm. toxic when you're losing. Like that's the whole point of like honor and like is like the diligence of it, of hey, I'm gonna be a positive influence even when I'm unhappy with something in the game.
Yep, exactly.
And as a long-standing member of the highest tiers of the honor
system. Hell yeah.
I'm looking forward to more prizes. I've got the chroma, so there's only one honor chroma that I won't have after I spend mm-hmm. this.
Nice.
So thanks for the free stuff, Riot Games. You got pranked. All I had to do was be a good person.
Was just be a regular, normal, like, good guy.
Yeah, I don't know. It's wild to me how, like, easy it is to get high levels of honor, because you don't have to. If you don't type ever, you'll probably be honor 5. If you just never chat. Oh, yeah,
for sure. For sure. It is it is definitely not the hardest thing to reach. It is kind of hard to get there once you've already taken a step down the path of toxicity.
Mm-hmm.
But you definitely can, you know, get back, obviously. Just continue to be positive.
Mm-hmm. So the one other piece of new news that I wanted to bring up real quick is that it looks like they're reopening up the champions queue or the champions level server or whatever it is.
Ooh, okay.
For all of the Worlds players are going to get access to the NA champion server
mm-hmm.
while Worlds is happening in NA.
Nice.
That server is going to shift based on at what point of Worlds they're at. So like it's going to start on like the Mexico server and then move to like the Chicago server when they get to Chicago.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
Yeah, that's going to be really sick. So, you know, people who already are on that server will still have it available. All the professional players will be there. And then they were talking about, like, they're going to give access to some content creators. Fingers crossed, probably not us, because podcasters aren't real content creators.
definitely not us. We're not getting into the Champions Queue, and we would get fucking smacked.
Well, not to play, but they're giving access to content creators with, spectator-only access.
I see.
On zero delay. Only stipulation being that they can't be streaming the VODs like during Worlds broadcasts.
Yeah, that's
but fair. But I am hyped to see, like, you know, I imagine we'll get some LS POV of like, oh cool, let's watch Faker and Jensen go at it in NA Champions Queue.
We are definitely gonna get mid beast. Definitely get who are some other? Oh, Cadrel. we'll definitely
some
get some
Captain Flowers. Creators. Just shout casting.
Yeah,
games.
Some Captain Flowers. Some Kobe. Kobe's doing a ton Champions Queue. So very cool. Can look forward to that for sure.
Definitely
awesome. Was there anything else that you noted?
Nope. Other than that, I think that was about it.
Cool. Then we will move on. Oh, I'm sorry. For the honor mode, there's one last thing. They said that for negative behavior, all detected disruptive behavior will impact your honor, even if it is not punished. So if you drop some gamer words, some not very nice words in chat, even if you don't get a chat ban, it will still negatively impact your honor progression.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was really interesting. I don't know if they've ever come out and said that before.
Everyone should have a public honor rank and a hidden honor matchmaking rating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny.
We need one public and private, and they need to not tell us how the private one works.
Oh god, that would be so fucking funny.
It would be so funny. But yeah, so that's it for new news. No 5-star reads that I don't believe.
Yeah, if you left a 5-star, tell Aiden and he'll do it. Like the little starry cuck he is.
Yeah, I fucking showed him. Joke's on him. He's probably sleeping because he's exhausted.
Yeah, because he drove 10 hours today.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, so I think we're moving on into competitive league section where we've got LCS and LEC playoffs continuing. I'm getting caught up on these. I think I watched the first 3 games of Cloud9 versus 100 Thieves. Mm-hmm. But I think based on all the commentary I've seen everywhere, 100 Thieves ends up winning.
Cloud9 won that pretty decidedly.
Oh, sorry. Cloud9 is what I meant to say. I'm also very tired.
Yes, Cloud9 took it 3-1, and they, in my opinion, look like the best team in North America, as evidenced by them being in the winners bracket. So, they're looking crazy good. I think they're playing the best right now. I don't know if they're the best team, I'll say, but all you have to do is get hot at the right time, and that's literally the only thing that matters, and that's what Cloud9 is doing. I know some people are going to fight me on that, but that's my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. All you need to do is get hot at the right time.
Exactly.
That's why I did it.
That's why I live in Florida and I'm hot all the time.
Hey, temperature jokes. Nice.
Global warming.
Yeah. And so the other series was what? Liquid.
It was Liquid Evil Geniuses.
Liquid EG. I have not watched that yet.
No, I'm... No, it was... I can't remember.
Let me pull up LOL Esports VODs.
Yeah, I don't remember. So, CLG played Team Liquid, but I can't remember when that was. I don't know if it was last weekend or the weekend
CLG
before.
Team Liquid was Thursday, and Liquid won that.
Yes.
And
oh, so
EG
they also played
TSM,
another one this weekend.
EG won that. That was Friday. Saturday was 100 Thieves C9. C9 3-1 it. Sunday was EG Team Liquid. And it's not showing me who won
three,
that.
It was 3-2 EG, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. So, We've got our top three representatives for NA for Worlds. It will be 100 Thieves, Evil Geniuses, and Cloud9, an utter surprise to, I think, absolutely no one. With the exception of Team Liquid not going, which is really funny considering their roster is, I think, by far the most expensive in North America. Jensen, or I'm sorry, Bjergsen alone might be might push it up there.
Bjergsen costs more than some teams.
I would not be surprised if that were the case, especially some of the lower tier teams.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's in North America, I believe. LEC already has their teams as well. I believe the Mad Lions, Fnatic, Rogue, and G2 are all going to Worlds. Mad Lions going to Worlds despite losing every single best of series in playoffs. They lost their first one and then they instantly lost another one. So congratulations to them, I suppose.
Way to go. Funny. Way to win playoffs by losing.
And Fnatic made it, which was a surprise to some, but
not Fnatic go Worlds.
They made it. Fnatic, no Reckless, no Worlds. Just kidding. Yeah, so I think that's it. I'm looking forward to seeing if any team could take a game off of or a series off of Cloud9 at this point in NA. Because Evil Geniuses does not look good. 100 Thieves did not look super good versus Cloud9. We should also... This is, like, pretty breaking news that came out today. Danny is not going to be playing this weekend. He's stepping down for mental health issues in an official statement from Evil Geniuses. So I believe I'm trying to find who
it was. Like it was a K name.
Yeah, like Cowrie or something.
Something like that. We know all of we know EG and their subs.
Cowrie. KAORI. Which I believe is their Academy AD carry.
That's also Kevin's gamer tag on Minecraft. So I think that's secretly Kevin. He was going hard at the wild. Wedding and he's got to go play.
That would be pretty wild. So yeah, that's been, that's kind of our competitive league talk. It's been really fun to watch.
I'm really interested to see how that develops. It seems like, you know, my perspective is it's a young guy with a whole lot of pressure on him, getting a ton of backlash from a community where it's like, when he does well, he gets like flamed for playing too flashy or whatever. And then like, if he doesn't get a pentakill every other game, people are like, you're dog shit, when he's, you know, easily been one of, I think, the top three AD carries in North America for his short-lived career so far.
And I wholeheartedly agree.
If not just number one, it depends who you ask.
Yeah, it's hard to put him at number one just because I think his career is so like short. It's only, you know, a couple splits at this point.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably got the most promise of I would say the average, more promise than the average LCS player. Hey, good on him, especially after Worlds has already been confirmed for them, where I'm not going to say there's no difference between a North American like one seed and three seed. Obviously, there's a huge difference between playing like JDG and not playing JDG. But I also think it's like overall not the biggest difference.
Yeah, and I think like,
it's still a crazy uphill battle.
Large scale, yeah. It's like large scale, you still need to be able to compete with world class teams and like,
yeah,
right. If you had been seed, you know, first seed, great, you might have gotten to quarterfinals, but then like still been eliminated. So
yeah, eventually you're gonna have to beat the best teams to be the best team in the world. So
yeah,
your journey could be harder or easier, you know, by a tiny amount, but at the end of the day it's going to be hard, especially it's a very uphill battle. So
definitely, so best wishes to Danny in his recovery, and hopefully the Reddit haters will calm down and try to allow NA to have its best chance by fielding one of its best AD carries.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely hope no one is like super mean on Danny because it's his like his mental health. At the end of the day, it's just a video game.
Mm-hmm, definitely. So.
Awesome. I think that's it for the competitive league section. So we'll move straight into the round table. I again will apologize. Aiden is not here to do the round table answer collecting. So our answers are just going to be from Discord this week. But we'll have Aiden pick it up next week. I don't have a Twitter account, so I can't look at replies very easily on Twitter.
Gotta get you one of them. Elon Musk is very disappointed in you.
That's maybe a good thing at this point.
Maybe, who knows?
Yeah. So you want to read the first ones, and I'll read the second ones?
Yeah, so last week's question was, what is your favorite splash art in League of Legends? And the series of ones I opened, I'll start with those. It's from Big Mike, who said, has to be giant enemy crab got. Makes him look unstoppable. That's one of my favorite splash arts. It's
really good, yeah. He just makes him look big. Yeah. Which is, like, really funny to me.
Yeah, and it's, like, it's one of those weird things where, like, size doesn't really... Things don't really scale in League of Legends super well.
Yeah.
Where, like, you know, Yordles are supposed to be very tiny, and yeah, their models are smaller, but, like, things that are supposed to be, like, big are not normally that big.
Yeah, that's a really good, like, perspective is like, everything, like, the difference between Aurelion Sol, for instance, and, like, Teemo is not, like, that crazy, despite one being absolutely gargantuan compared to the other. But, yeah, I think that splash art does it justice for sure.
Mm-hmm. And then from Vitaly, also on our Discord, old/original Lollipoppy skin, because in loading screen, she instilled fear into everyone's eyes.
I don't think that some of our listeners at this point have ever experienced the joy that is old Lollipoppy. Hey, there's a reason that, you know, there's a yearly like mashup between Lollipoppy and new champions' faces. It is nightmare fuel. It is not a very good splash art.
No, it's the very best of all of them.
Or is the very best. Yeah, I don't know which. Awesome. So the next set it has Sharky. You know, splash art goes too hard to not mention. Updated traditional Trundle. The raw sexual energy exuded from the troll makes it possibly the most potent splash art in the game. Wow, a little thirsty for Trundle, traditional Trundle. Lil Barnabas, the Legends of Runeterra guy, says Sweeper Rammus is the best splash in League. Look at his dumb smirk as he flies through the air after being mega kicked. That's really funny. Sight says Aatrox Classic, I love the bloodshed. And Jacoby said Black Scourge Singed. I don't even play Singed, but I got it anyway just because I thought the artistic approach on the skin line was beautiful and wanted to see more skins from this goth Black Plague theme set. I'm not edgy, I swear. awesome. So I also did not pick a this week's roundtable question. Colton, would you like to select one? I'll leave it up to you.
Sure. Let's go ahead and say we'll do the bottom one. Congratulations, you are Riot's newest voice actor. Which character's voice lines would you like to redo yourself?
I'll be honest, I think literally any of them would be absolutely hilarious.
Mm-hmm. I chose this because I want to be able to download the Nick Cooper voice pack where you just
voice exactly. all characters. So maybe I'll just pick a character that Colton, that you play.
Okay, hell yeah.
So maybe I'll pick Miss Fortune.
Nice.
get a load of my guns. Shock and awe.
I want to be like one of the really like, I'll be like Zed, be like an edgy character, but I would just like say everything with like slash S.
Can you like do it, but without the filter? So, like, you don't have the edgy filter. It's just your, like, regular voice.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I just want the whole thing to be, like, I'm aware that my voice lines are a little cringe.
Yeah, I think that would be the funniest part is, like, being aware.
That's I'm trying so funny. To find voice lines on them, of course. It's not on the actual League of Legends universe page. Would it be? Let me go to the wiki.
Yeah, I mean, the wiki has it for sure.
Oh, for sure. Always. The wiki's got everything.
Well, maybe. Maybe not forever.
Maybe not everything forever. I think
they did not, like, work with the person who was hosting it or something, but well.
Anyway, yeah, so I would choose Zed. I don't see voice lines here to give you an example. But
hey, that's okay. We'll just have to listen to it in our dreams.
We'll just have to have Aiden record it in post and insert it. Yeah,
that'd be
the show.
Really funny.
Aiden needs to do my voice doing Zed's voice, but in a sarcastic way.
Yeah, that'd be good. I like that.
But if you guys want to answer the roundtable question, you can hit us up on Twitter. You can hit us up on Discord, discord.gg/leaguecast, and go to the roundtable channel. You can send us an email at mail@leaguecastpodcast.com, or you can send a carrier pigeon to Nick's home in Florida. But it's got to be there by next week, so get to
it. Yeah, figure that out, and I'll be down.
If you receive a carrier pigeon with a roundtable answer, you're not going to read it on the show.
No, absolutely. It's getting read for sure.
Yeah, it's just a little bit of a challenge for our listeners.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. You ready to move into mail fight?
Absolutely.
The first email is from Noah, known C9 fan. This week's question about your favorite splash art made me think of Crystal Rose Swain. Jericho Swain is an elegant, pristine, and charismatic individual. Shows the true class of an Noxian Grand General. What do you think about Swain, Noah? Hey, right, that's a good splash art. I wouldn't necessarily describe Noxious as what did he say? Elegant, pristine, or I guess he would be charismatic, but I do think it's really funny to describe him as that when he's like this, you know, very bloodthirsty, not bloodthirsty maybe, but
demon, like, vicious man.
Yeah, vicious, like, tactical, ruthless, I think is a better way to describe him. But that's really funny,
definitely. But you know, Nick and I, big fans of Swain. We like Swain.
We like Swain. Big fans.
We like Swain here.
We like Swain.
Next, thanks, Noah. Yeah, next email is from Jock Lecoq Grande, who says, "Howdy, boys. Jock Lecoq Grande here. Usually dishing out not the cock grande my opponents want, but the cock grande my opponents deserve. Anyways, I have been checking the Google Doc spreadsheet for tips, and every month I checked it, I saw the exact same comment. It has taken me about 5 to 6 months to finally realize that there are multiple tabs, one for each month, and my derpy brain has just been looking at February every month, getting more and more frustrated at my comments not changing. At first, I thought you guys weren't making different comments because I didn't take your advice and playing Yorick and Teemo, but more... Teemo more. But I seem to do better with those champions when I duo with lower ELO friends, and with my higher ELO buddy, I do better with Garen. Finally, today I figured out, and I just didn't realize there are multiple tabs. I'm so embarrassed I wanted to put this out there in case anyone else is at the $5 patron level and didn't notice this either. Sorry for the long email. Grats on Masters, Colton, and hope to see you all on the Rift soon. One of your many fans, Jock Lecoq Grande."
That is so fucking funny.
That is very funny.
Yeah, we do change them up. Maybe they'll be similar sometimes. But yeah, for the most part, like, they are different month to month.
Yeah, we try and keep them different month to month, like Nick said. I definitely will go back and look at, like, the last month's comment to see, you know, what either you or Aiden said last time around. There are definitely certain things that, like, will persist, especially if they don't change, right? Where it's like, oh, if you have a 75% win rate on Volibear, but you continue to not pick Volibear, we're going to tell you to pick that.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I'll also generally only, like, if there is one that I really feel like needs repeating, I'll pick one and then try and do some other ones. Because, yeah, like, nobody wants to hear the same advice every week where it's just like, hey, play this character lots. CS,
yeah,
well, and get many kill.
And at the same time, please recognize that, like, it is pretty hard to come up with, like, pretty original, unique advice for you, like, solely based on your OPGG. Like, we do have advice tailored to you.
But there's but a lot of time it's gonna be looking at a match history.
Yeah, at the same time it's gonna be like pretty general, all things considered. So like we can't go into every single game and spectate and give you the super highest quality. That's what, you know, coaching is for. But it is I think a really, really helpful tool. I think the biggest thing that I've seen is like, maybe it feels kind of shitty to hear like, hey, keep playing this character, stop like bouncing around. Because that is something that like, you know, you don't need a PhD in League of Legends to figure that out. But I think it's really cool to have a little perspective from someone who does play a lot of solo queue and characters. And, you know, if Colton is telling you, hey, maybe you should keep playing Volibear, you know, hey, maybe you should keep playing Volibear, you know, don't jump around. I personally use U.GG, and I think it really keeps in perspective the kind of the season long aspect of ranked, where on the little sidebar it'll tell you how much cumulative LP you've gained from like each character that you've played. And when I'm like reviewing people in like, hey, I've not been having like the most recent success on like Sejuani, for instance. And then I'll look over and they've gained 600 LP on Sejuani over the course of the season. It's like, well, maybe you could tough it out, because obviously like in the grand scheme of things, maybe not in the 2-game sample size of this past week, like it's been really successful. But over the course of the season, you are up an entire division, like from where you started.
Can you
playing your main? Yeah. You know, like put it, like obviously it doesn't feel good to lose sometimes, but like put it aside and stick with it, and I promise you'll see results.
Mm-hmm. If you had to guess, best guess, how many LP have I got from Miss Fortune?
From Miss Fortune?
Yeah.
Genuinely, I'm gonna say like 700.
Plus 642, you're close.
Yeah, it, like an insane amount. And if you keep it in perspective like that, Colton, if you have like 5 terrible misfortune games in a row, and your mindset is like, this character is so fucking worthless. Like I can't do anything. I'm playing perfectly, but my team is like so bad. I need to move on to something else. Like then you can look at that, keep that in mind, and say like, oh, okay. It's just a small little sample size of things going poorly. Like I need to step back, look at the big picture, and see that the character I've been maining and having like overall success on is a character that I should stick with.
Yeah, but I would never have 5 bad games in a row.
Right now, I don't think it's possible for you.
No, to have 5 I bad just games I just like row. Loaded my last like 120 games, and I only have one instance of losing 3 in a row.
Yeah, and I'll say like. Maybe bad game in a row is not like the best comparison.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't like no flame at all. I don't think your scores are like crazy good. I don't think you're like 1v9 hard carrying every shit. Game. But like obviously you're performing whatever the fuck role your team needs from an AD carry, because you're winning 70% of like all of your games that you're playing.
I'm
like just straight up.
It's because I'm a jungler in an AD carry hat. I'm not playing for my, like, as much as I am playing for myself, it's just, like, I'm playing to fit the role of the team, where, like, there, you know, there are games where I'll play, like, Kindred Jungle, and, like, I'm a DPS role that game, but I very much, like, I think understand more than a lot of AD carry players that it's, like, hey, my solo lanes are winning, I don't need to be the big threat, I don't need to win the team fights, I don't need a 1v9. A lot of times, I need to let them 4v4, and I just hit tower because MF kills towers quickly.
Yeah, I think that's like something that I've really noticed while I'm playing like not support. If you just kind of like chill and don't force like really bad fights and you know make bad decisions, like a lot of the time you can just wait for your opponents to make a mistake, and that's going to be, you know, the dagger for them a lot of the times. Mm-hmm. Especially in high elo, where like one really big mistake can honestly decide a game, whether that be like you didn't exhaust at the right time and Katarina got the reset to like get the triple kill, you know, something very minor and small like that, that in lower elos may not have the same impact, is like exponential in higher elos.
Yeah. But to go back to the beginning of all of it, thank you for the email,
John. Yeah, I guess Grande. We went on a really long tangent.
It's fine. But yeah, thank you for the email, and make sure you're checking the appropriate month for those profile reviews.
The tabs are at the bottom. I promise we do them. Maybe it's not, you know, by the first of the month if something comes up. But a couple days after, we'll have it 100%. Maybe it's very similar to last month's, but I promise we've looked at it. And if that's the advice that we think that you need, then, you know, heed it. Also, I'm going to do a little PSA here, because I think maybe it's a little unclear sometimes. I personally won't review some accounts if there's less than like 10 ranked games. It just feels like to me that that's a good, you know, 10 ranked games over the course of a month is not like a ton to ask. And I think that advice would be better for people who, you know, are actively climbing.
Yeah.
If you would like your OPGG to reflect your normal games, if you're practicing stuff or some flex or something like that, definitely message one of us and we'll add a little note to review, to review that. But otherwise, like that's my perspective. You know, if you're not playing at least 10 rank games a month, then there's not a lot of advice that I could give you aside from, hey, play more.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. And I've taken to if there is like between like 5 to 10, I'll try and add like one comment, whereas normally I try and do like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Per profile, you know, if I see something. But I mean, if like, if what I'm looking at is, like, 3 games of Zach, and, like, you have the same build every game, it's, like, it's hard to say a whole lot about it. Now, if I, like, see something obvious where I'm like, oh, in this game, they had Soraka top and Yumi support, and you never built Heal Cut. Like, okay, that's an easy thing to bring up.
Yeah.
But if there's not, like, a low-hanging fruit like that, it's hard to come up with good advice with a sample size of, like, 4 to 7 games.
Yeah, especially if those are all different, like characters and roles. You know, like if you're playing top 2 games and then a support and a mid game, like, what advice can we give you for those very specific games and not like an overall picture? You know, without diving too deep into the games that you played. So cool. Yeah, I think that was a good little segment on our thought process, maybe even beyond, you know, the patron rewards, but into like ranked itself. So definitely. Cool. Thank you, Jacques. Our next email is from the TF2 janitor. Oh, he's back. Interesting. Dear LeagueCast, hi guys, it's me, the janitor who used to work at Valve. 8 months ago, I wrote in about how I... As the sole TF2 dev, I had just gotten a job at Riot Games to work on League of Legends, and then was promptly fired once they read my resume. I've been stuck in their Los Angeles office ever since, ironically in a janitor's closet / server room combo. I think they lost the keys to this because no one ever comes in and the door is locked. Anyway, I dumped a bucket of water on their firewall, which is why I can finally send you an email. I've been busy these last 8 months taking revenge on Riot for locking me in here. I'm responsible for the last 12 Zeri changes. Did you know no one on the dev team actually reads the patch notes? I deleted all the Akali chromas. They lied about it, not matching their new design philosophy. I raised Yi's win rate by 10%. I'm also the one who made the special game mode chance for the ultimate spellbook random. I keep trying to delete every character, sans Yumi, but... Is that sans Yumi, except Yumi, but somehow they always catch it before release. I'm also responsible for the streamers being banned by Riot Korea. By the way, Riot Korea is just a fancy automated voicemail service and no one actually works there. Also, speaking of Akali, Riot actually killed the old voice actor to Jesus to cover up an RP embezzlement pyramid scheme, which is why they had changed the voice actor for Star Guardians. I haven't been all bad. I keep putting Tim Kench as a new character in the game, but they always catch it. In the next patch, I'm planning to switch on switching Sona and Seraphine's kits. I've been living off four pallets of Cheeto bags, but I'm getting close to the end of them. If no one lets me out before I finish them off, I'm going to spray water onto the servers in hopes that they'll notice something is wrong. Let this be a lesson to anyone who applies at Riot. You will get trapped in a janitor's closet and forced to eat Cheetos for 8 months. Regretfully, TF2 janitor. P.S. Who is doing the TF2 updates now that I'm not doing them? Did they hire another janitor? I was told those localization updates were critical. Ooh, expounding upon the Riot Games lore.
Yeah.
From TF2 janitor. Thank you for the update and for trying to get Tim Kench in there.
You're doing, you know, you're doing the Lord's work in Tim Kench in the game.
That's what I would say.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, TF2.
Thank you. Next email is from Big Mike. Hey, guys. I'm listening back to when Samira was first released and your hot takes on her, and I want to know what your worst takes about a character when they first came out versus who they are now. For example, you all thought Samira should be punished for not stacking style. Nick also thought she would be overpowered, whereas now he's pissed that she got nerfed. Also, with the Rune King book coming out, I'd love to know which story you think would be the best told via book. I thought the Frailyard Watcher book would be best. I've only been playing LoL for about a year, so I'm sure you have a lot of stories. Big Mike. Also, I'm writing a D&D campaign which is 50% Frailyard and 50% Norse mythology, and I wanted to know, out of all the League of Legends champions, who do you think is the ultimate big, bad, evil guy for a D&D campaign? Looking at you, Colton. I'd love to send you my campaign when I am done. I'll think about that for a little bit. Do you remember having any like particular takes on a character when they first came out?
I mean, honestly, I think my Nyla take is like probably my worst one. I think I definitely overreacted like a little bit. I do think she's like incredibly strong and people simply aren't playing her. Her win rate is really, really high even after the like really harsh nerfs that she's received. Which leads me to believe that her release would have actually been disgustingly broken. It is 51.28% on a pretty small sample size. I think her XP passive is absolutely bonkers ridiculous. A lot of the times, if you have the push at level 6, you know, you can be level 6 by the time they're simply level 4 still. Which I think is absolutely insane. But as for like specifically the Samira one, I think my Samira takes have been pretty decent, all things considered. As someone who will like simp for the character because she's probably the most fun AD carry to play. Like with that bias in mind, I think it is fair to say that she was extremely overpowered on launch. And needed to be nerfed. I do think they went really, really hard on the nerf simply because her ban and pick rate were both really high, which Riot has said does make a character eligible for, you know, nerf, is them being like two pick ban. I personally don't like that philosophy, but I can understand why that, you know, if someone is banning Kassadin 83% of the time, obviously they should be looked at, even if the win rate is like 40%, you know? But it is frustrating as someone who played the character. I think the Samira nerfs went too far, and then they brought her in a decent direction. I wish she were not as reliant on like engage supports as she is. I think that's a pretty fair analysis,
yeah.
I would say.
I would say, I don't know if it was necessarily at release, but I'd say for me, definitely like my hardest take and then hardest 180 was on Kha'Zix. Because the first time I played Kha'Zix, I absolutely hated the character. Because I thought
okay,
he was
so
just...
it's been a long time since you've had a bad take.
Yeah, I haven't had a bad take since then.
Okay.
But like when I, the first time I played Kha'Zix, I was just like, man, this is just shitty Rengar. Like his Q is big damage, but it's not even an auto attack reset. And his W slows, but it doesn't even have a chance to like root. And like I can't just fly across the map onto somebody. And like why don't they have to be isolated? As Rengar, I can jump into five people and still 100-0. That's funny. And then I ended up playing a bajillion games of Kha'Zix and him being one of my highest performance characters ever. Not in recent years. I somehow got shit at Kha'Zix or just not good at jungle anymore. But definitely, I'd say that would be one of them.
I think like single target junglers have not been good for quite some time, unfortunately.
As for your final kind of question in this big mic of what LoL champions do you think would be the ultimate big bad evil guy, I think it's going to depend, I mean, a lot on like your campaign and campaign setting.
Yeah.
But I do think that like off the bat, Swain is certainly going to be in the top tier.
Well, so remember he said for a 50% Freljord, 50% Norse, like Nordic. So I don't know if like, does it need to be a Freljord bad guy?
I don't,
or are we just saying like so. Bad guy in general?
I think what he's going with is that it's like Freljord and Norse mythology. So like the pantheon and creation of the world is in line with that, but I don't think it's necessarily limited to those.
If I
want to go though the other way, then I would probably lean into like the amorphous concept of like the Watchers being the big bad, and right, like the idea of, you know, maybe a champion of the Watchers is rising or like a rift is opening, being like the driving conflict of the campaign. Because
yeah, Lissandra, you know, is going around waking the Watchers, something like that.
Yeah,
I'm not a lore nerd. Like I know we have, so I'm sure we've said something incorrect.
Probably.
That we'll get an email about. You guys don't even know that Lissandra actually hates the Watchers.
Didn't you know that she changed sides 7 days ago when they posted this article?
I regret calling them lore nerds because, hey, you guys could listen to League of Loreheads, and they do a good job explaining the lore.
True.
And the Lissandra one is actually really good, unironically.
Yeah. Also, I would say, having Nunu and Willump as an NPC needs to happen if it is ultimately like based in the Freljord and not just based on like a Freljord ex Norse mythology like pantheon. If they were like trudging through the Freljord, just like they randomly stumble across a kid and they're like trying to save him, and then all of a sudden his giant yetis behind them would be such a
That would be a good like one off, you know?
Yeah, they're like, oh no, we need to rescue this child, and they turn around and there's like a 12-foot yeti behind them. Perfect. So good luck writing your campaign, and hopefully those ideas were helpful to you, Big Mike.
Yeah, that sounds really fun.
I think it is you.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Our last email is from our resident Echo main, Mad Mardigan 78. Hola, fellas. I don't speak Spanish. Hola just rhymed with fella, so I went with it. Been a listener for about 4 years now. Would this be my first time writing in? And I'm being so tilted out of my fucking mind. The context, I get that MMR and ranked are different while being connected, but what I don't get is how bad the matchmaking system really is. I use Blitz app for pregame info on my opponent, so I also get information on my own team. And what I've noticed is that at least 3 times a day out of a 10-game session, as a consistent Silver 2 to Silver 4 player, I get teamed with at least one Iron teammate. Again, I understand that person's MMR may be close to my own, but there's no way in hell that that can be the case with these players. The most recent one, which he linked below, but we don't look at individual games, unfortunately. The Iron 1 player on my team has a 30% win rate and is being placed in the jungle role versus a Silver 3 Lee Sin that is in a duo with the mid lane Morgana. How in God's green earth are we getting a player that is at 600 LP lower than his opponent being placed in this game? Oh, and that is not even the worst one. A game I dodged had an Iron 380 carry with a 43% win rate. I know what Riot wants us all to say around 50% win rate, but this is getting ridiculous. It's like they are actually trying to make my teams lose. I know by the time you read this, I will have moved on past my tiltness, and I don't expect you to have a remedy, but just help an old man with some comforting words. Your resident Echo Main, Mad Mardigan 78. P.S. I carried my ass off in that game, but we still lost after I tried to kill the enemy Jin, who had a GA, which I popped, but then Zillion ulted him, which I then killed him again. When he came back a third time, I ulted out, landed right on top of the Jin, killing him the final time, but I was queued by the Trash Morgana and killed, allowing them to win. Your resident Echo Vein, Mad Mardigan 78.
Man, sounds like a Game 5 in a Liquid series.
It sure does. Boy, howdy, do I fucking hate Zillion. I really, truly don't understand how that character has not been played more and then subsequently nerfed.
Changed.
Well, I think a really good perspective to have is, like, only fix your, like, only worry about your own mistakes. If your team's, like, lose or make mistakes, it's gonna happen. There's nothing you could do about it. There's, like, actually zero use in getting frustrated and getting upset at that. Like, that's a really easy thing to say, but if you look statistically at, like, every single game, you know, 1 out of 10 times you should one out of 10 times you should positively, like, impact the game in a way that means that you let your team win. Like, your play caused you to win. 1 out of 10 times, you know, your play caused you to lose. And then everything else is entirely decided by the rest of your team. Like, you can absolutely have some, like, impact in that. I'm not saying that it's a coin flipped and your play is worthless. It may feel like that sometimes, but it's not. That's just, like, statistically, anything beyond that, like, 2 out of 10 games are influenced by you, like, specifically. Anything beyond that is going to be, you know, a blessing or a curse. And for the most part, out of your hands, and there's not a lot you can do about that. I don't know if that's, like, the best advice, but I don't know. That's the advice that I have.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of variables all jumbling around when it comes to, like, matchmaking and your teammates and what roles they are and what rank they are, and, like, you can't actually see their MMR, so even though you might have, like, an iron player against a gold player, like, maybe it's because that gold player's MMR is ridiculously low and that iron player's MMR is ridiculously high. You just can't see those things.
It's really dumb. Like, I 100% get the frustration, getting matched with players that you perceive to be better or worse. Go ahead and, like, turn that off. Like, don't look at that. If you find yourself getting tilted, you know, dodge games based on that information, or don't look at it at all. Because I think, like, having access to that information can be a blessing and a curse.
Oh, for sure.
If you see your teammate lock in their 30% win rate misfortune, it can be extremely frustrating and a reason for you to dodge. But at the same time, there's not a 30% chance that you're going to win that game. There are other factors involved.
Yeah, and I would also say that, like, a lot of times the full scope of things is not apparent. Where, like, for me, for example, right now, like, if I locked in Zillion in our duo queue game, Nick, you'd say, oh, wow, he's got a 39% win rate Zillion. But, like, if I went to Season 11, it's like, wait a minute, he's got a 58% win rate Zillion. Season 10, he's got 56% win rate Zillion. Like,
yeah.
Okay, yeah,
obviously,
I'm
this
not
person
playing
is good
well
at Zillion.
Yeah,
he's
or
just
at
had
least
some,
plays
like, bad games. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And sorry, like, you're very rarely going to check, like, their last season, or maybe they've been playing it on a different account, or, again, maybe they just think that it is the right pick here.
Yeah, I mean, I played a Poppy support game. I have 0 games of Poppy support played this season. We ended up losing, but I not because I lacked in Poppy, you know? It was the right play into... it was into Zach Camille. So, I'm gonna lock in Poppy. It's not, you know, it was me first timing it. But it didn't negatively impact the game. So I think that's something that, like, like I said, definitely a blessing, definitely a curse sometimes. And
it just
I think
to do with how you react to the information. And
yeah, like, you like you get in your own head like before the game even starts.
Yeah, I mean, and there's certainly been times where I've looked and been like, oh, I'm against, you know, some ridiculous stats like 400 LP player. Like, ah, I'm going to get fucked in lane, and I, like, win that game, but I lose to, like, the D2 50% win rate laner.
Yeah, exactly. That's what, like, taking the extremes is, like, if you, Colton, if you played against a Silver 4 player, and you knew that information beforehand, you're thinking, okay, this is going to be the easiest game of my life, like, there's 0% chance that I lose this. But if they're confident on their pick, and they play it extremely well, and it, you know, counters yours, let's just take the easiest argument to make. There is a non-0% chance that they lose that game or that they win that game, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And if you take the opposite side of that, where let's say you're playing fucking General Sniper rank 1 on Riven, if you go into it thinking, like, I'm going to lose this game, I'm going to get absolutely smashed, like, that's half the battle that you've already lost is, mm-hmm. like, the confidence to go for certain plays. You're going to have a mindset that is going to be overall pretty negative.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that, yeah, I mean, those are really good examples, and I mean, even, like, my very minuscule claim to fame was laning against and beating Boxbox with my Renekton into his Riven back in, like, Season 6, and I definitely played aggro, and I probably won that lane, like, the 1 in 9 times that I would. That one game,
yeah, exactly.
Where it happened, but it's like, again, like, you just have to buckle down and still play the game the same way. Like, if they're good or they're bad, you know, you need to maximize your advantages, punish their mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you had the pleasure of playing against Tyler 1 recently. And
oh, yeah,
like, destroyed me. I'm sure you did you know that information, like, going into it?
I didn't. Somebody said something early on, like, I'm a big fan, and I looked up the account name later.
Yeah. So, like, that's an example of, like, okay, it didn't work that time, but you having that information, I imagine, probably would have strictly made you play worse based on, like, hey, I'm playing in front of a huge audience against someone who's much, much better than me. So, like, what do I do there? You know, like, why go into it defeated when you haven't even started the match, you know?
Yeah. So hopefully that was helpful.
Yeah,
Mad Mardigan. So. Hopefully you're not getting as many people in your games that are upsetting you. But, like, again, matchmaking is always kind of a coin flip, and the best you can really hope for is that, like, in the long run, it evens out. You get placed with players that are your skill level, and that if you're playing better than where you're rated, you'll start to climb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you one more time for the email, and I think, Nick, we're ready to wrap up the show.
Yeah, that'll do it for this episode of LeagueCast. Thank you for listening. Oh, I'm sorry, before we get to that, Colton, it is the first episode of this beautiful month of September.
Ooh, true. Let me get on our Patreon.
Yeah. And sorry about that, I just remembered.
Yeah, you're good. We stall while I...
We stall? We stall? Are you looking for... Do you have any plans this upcoming week?
Yeah, I'm going to the LCS finals over the weekend.
Oh, yeah, Poggers. So you flew out to Chicago.
Yeah.
Came back for 2 or 3 days and are going straight back. Couldn't get enough.
Yep, back again.
Back
again. There and back again. Colton goes to finals. But yeah, thank you to all of our wonderful patrons. Gonna read through the wall of support, starting with Aaron, Adrian, sadly not a Joshua, Alex, Andrew, Anivia, Armis, Arsonist, Austin, Beer Better, Bellator, Blabby, Blackwax, Big Peen, Sheen, Blooper, Brady, Brosif, Brother Dust, Chaz, Chris, Kodyo, Colton, Coin Toss, Coastal Toast, Dabular, Dalton, Daddy Kaiser, Dapper Dodge, David, David the Deadly Tiger, Ghost Leal, Devin, Diggity Daxter, Dippy, Dr. Libby, Don't Be Creative, Drive Forward, Dr. Nolly, Drew, Dr. Herfurfurfur, Dream Villain J, Ella Saga, Elliot, Inebriated Otter, X Vengeance, Foxlow, Franco, Fritz, Frozen Ninja, Gabriel, Gamer Wolf, Guillermo, George, Grey White Gunner, Harry Spanker, Harley, Hexen, Heckenduck, H Fire, Herx, I Cosplay Gragas, I Am 3D Ski, Ibra, Iron Squid, Isaac, It's In My Veins, Jacob, Jake from State Farm, Jamal, Jody, Jape, Jaziel, Jeff, Jesse, Jigmink, Jisoo, Joby, John, Jonah, Jonaho, Jorge, Jordan, Josh, but not a Josh, Josh, Joshua, Calzifar, Chaos, Kieran, Kennedy, Klon, Amy, Koi, the Monkey Boy, Colby, Conrad, Crambone, Chris, Kyle, Landon, League Saint, aka Matt, aka Jocklecock Grande, Lacona, Levi Spells Evil, Leviathan, Lisp Sync, Little Barnabas, Little Lorian, Loffy, Lucas, Madeline, Man Mannington, Marshall, Mary Makes No Sense, Max and Mox, Mew Pew Pew Yo Face, Michael, Midgekale, Milkman, Monty, Mr. Ginger, Muse Guy, My Balls, Your Gin, Nathan, Nathaniel, Nikoj, Night Rift, Noah, NYC Poem, Nick T. Knox, Oscar Orden, Papa Kush Ivern, Pards Bay, Picasso, Pocky, Puff Clouding, Purple Play Panda, Raphael, Rattlesnake Jake, Red Lefty, RJ, Roy, Ryan, S49, Sammy, Scarecrow Jones, Sejuani's Baby Daddy, Selfius, Seth, Stu, Stuart, Sunny Pebble, T1 Sharko, T Hubs, Tanner, Thane, The Last Samurai, The Rano Gaming, The Slater, Thomas, Titties and Bitties, Discotlam, Ty, Walter, Womper, Will, William, Wolfie, Wyatt, Zavarox, X-Strong, Zod, Yanis, Yumi with a Gun, Zorica, Joman, and Zyra is my champ.
Whew, we made it.
Thanks for reading that, bud. Hell yeah.
And thank you guys for listening. If you'd like to send us an email, you can mail us at mail@leecastpodcast.com. Watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/KingLardout, Blue Basket, and Leecast Frost. Tweet at us at Leecast on Facebook. We are Leecast. Visit our website, leecastpodcast.com. Join our Discord server, discord.gg/Leecast, and support us on Patreon, patreon.com/Leecast. Thank you guys once again for listening, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.